This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim, each one had six wings, with two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I'm undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal which he had taken with tongs from off the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I, send me." Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the cry of your heart. As we've heard this morning, that your eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking those whose hearts are right before you. Lord, I thank you that you want to send each one in this place. Lord, that you want to send us to a world that's broken, to a world that it is needy, and as we've seen, a world that is in a trap that they cannot get out of us. But you have anointed us. Lord, I thank you this morning that hearts are going to be set on fire. Lord, lives are going to be set on fire to serve you and your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, all the worship team. Really appreciate you leading us as we worship God together. As Karen already said, we had a great time at the conference and particularly challenged about it. A lot of things, actually. We want to see signs and wonders, is that right? We're really challenged about where to... Signs and wonders, we heard, won't build a church. The head of MFI, or former, the one who started it, Dick Iverson, just shared a wonderful word. And he talks, if you want to see signs and wonders, then you better get the heart of God, and it's compassion. Every time the word compassion is used, where Jesus was moved with compassion, signs and wonders always followed. So we want to see signs and wonders, and I would ask the question, why? I was praying a while back for this, and just there's such an eagerness for see the power of God, and God said, why? If I show my power in you, you're just going to say it's because you prayed. You're going to say it's because you believe the right way. You got the right doctrine. You got the right formula. And just really revealed to my heart the self-righteousness that was there. It's all about me. Doing this religious stuff. Because if you want to see signs and wonders, if you want to see miracles, then you better learn to walk with me. I've said this year we're going to focus on walking in the Spirit. Paul in Galatians said, if we live in the Spirit, then we need to also be walking in the Spirit. We need to walk with God. And I really want to make a challenge this morning about walking with God. That cry of God, he says, "Whom will I send? Who will go for us?" You know, the only person that qualifies for that, none of us qualify, the only person that qualifies that in all the world is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one. He is the exact representation of God. And so when God makes that call, we think, oh, I'm ready to go. I thought I was. I want to see signs and wonders. I'm your man. Send me. I want to see signs. He said, you're not ready, David. You're not ready yet. You've got to get my heart. You've got to know what it is to walk with me before you can start running for me. And he wants, that's what he's called each one of us to do, is to walk with him. If we live in the Spirit, we've got to learn what it means to walk in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is walking with God. The Holy Spirit is God. That's what it is. You know, sometimes I love visiting God. How many love a visit of God? Oh, Oh, isn't it wonderful? Reminds me of a lot of things that I used to know. I walked a mile with laughter. She chatted all the way, leaving me none the wiser with all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow. Never a word said she, but all the things I learned from her when sorrow walked with me. Do you want to walk with God? It's going to cost you. Guess who's going to have to change? God doesn't. You know, we heard at the conference, just some great stuff. Anyway, just really confirming in my heart that what God wants to do in our lives. You know, if we want to preach a book of Acts, this is one of the, Bob McGregor, if we want to preach and live a book of Acts experience, then we've got to start living a book of Acts experience. What did that church do? They lived it. They were walking with God. You know, I love following God when it's wonderful. Don't like following God when it gets tough. But, you know, I've realized we all love Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. In no area of my life will I find any lack if we're following him. He's my shepherd. What did Jesus say? My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Well, we start following the Lord. He makes us lay down in green pastures. He makes me lay down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. What's that talking about? It's allowing God to speak to us through his word. What happens? Our soul gets restored. We heard about that from Jeremiah. Wasn't that a fantastic word? He starts restoring our soul. This world can't restore your soul. It just rips it apart. It wars against our soul. But the word of God, and he leads us and he restores our soul. But if we want to know his authority and his power, the Bible says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. In other words, I'm walking with you. Your rod and your staff. How many want his rod and staff? Well, you're going to keep walking with him? Keep walking with him. He restores our soul, so that we will not have no fear whatsoever, because he is with us as a mighty, awesome one. We're going to walk with God. Thought I had notes. Maybe I'll grab the wrong book. So the only one who qualifies to be sent is the Lord Jesus Christ. Michelle is going to be baptized today. And what an exciting thing that is. You know, when we get baptized, the first word of the Bible is repent and believe and be baptized. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know what baptism's all about? It's about the end of us and the beginning of him. As we go down under the waters, we are baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, that's the end of me. That's the end of you, Bev, when you were baptized. That's the end of you, Karen, when you were baptized. Charlie, when you were baptized, that was the end of you. And when you rose up out of the water, we rose with Christ to what? Newness of life. You read Romans 6 and verse 4, that if we were, let's read it together. Romans chapter 6. We'll start from verse 3. Here is it. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Do you know that? That's what we're baptized. When we went under the water, that's the end of me. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. So why are we raised? To be filled with the Holy Spirit. Why are we filled with the Holy Spirit? To begin to walk in the Spirit. That's his call for each one of us. We start walking with God, things are going to change. Here. This is where it all starts. Things are going to change. Isaiah chapter 2 says that in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house is going to be exalted above all the hills, all the mountains, high places. And it says that many people are going to say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of our God, and he will what? Teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. And then it talks about a law that's going to come out of Zion, that's the mountain, a law, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We want to see the miraculous, well, we better start learning how to walk with God. I want to just, oh, actually, we're just about out of time, but I want to, I've shared it before, but in Acts chapter 3, this is a story which I believe depicts in a large way a lot of our lives and the church and what God wants to do about it. Acts chapter 3, I read it before, I have read it before. Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms for those who entered the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. You know what I want to see? I want to see Christians that are walking and leaping and praising God. Do you know that in the Old Testament, the law said that no one that was lame could enter the temple? No one that was maimed could enter the temple. They had to. That's why this lame man was laid outside that beautiful gate, the entranceway into the temple of God. And that's why he was laid there, because he couldn't go inside. And I imagine all those people that were coming in there, it was a great spot, wasn't it? All those people were suddenly made aware when they saw this lame man, the liberty and the freedom that they had to enter right into the house of God. Remember, in the last days, many people are going to come and say, let us go up to the mountain of God, to the house of our God. Well, they would have seen this lame man, thought, boy, he can't even go in where we have perfect freedom and liberty to. But you know what I'm realizing is that so many in the church are lame. So many in the church are like that cripple man. And Peter said, look at us. And I think God wants us to look at him, because he's saying to us, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. What does the Bible say? Arise, get up. You're not going to walk until you arise, until you get up. How do we get up? Well, in Christ Jesus. When we get up, we stop living for ourselves, living for the flesh. Remember, I read out all of Ephesians 2 a while ago, 3 weeks ago. I read out all of Ephesians 2, where it says that we once walked according to the course of this world, according to the demon prince of the power of the air, that spirit that works in the sons of disobedience. We all walked according to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the lust of the mind. We were doing our own thing, walking our own ways, but now God's saying, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You know, like when they said, why do you keep talking about Nazareth? What do they say about Nazareth? Nothing good comes out of Nazareth. Nothing good comes out of Nazareth. He came from the worst possible place. Nothing good was spoken about Nazareth. But in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. Arise and shine, because your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. You know what it says in the book of Ephesians? It says this, that we are to stand up, rise up from amongst the dead ones, the lame, the crooked ones. Get up and begin to walk with God, because he is with you, he is with me as a mighty, awesome one. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. How many times did Jesus have to come along, you know, to a crippled man and say, do you want to be made well? Get up. Get up. Do you want to be made whole? Well, get up. I mean, he is the one. He saved us. He set us free. We can get up. He's pulled us out of that pit, as we've heard. Now we can get up and begin to walk. We couldn't walk in the pit, but now we can. We're all caught. You know, the Bible says in 1 John 2 that the love of this world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life is not of the Father. And it's all going to pass away. So why do we spend so much of our life planning for our retirement, planning for our future? I'm not knocking that completely, but why is all of our focus on that when the Lord is saying, I want you to follow me. I want you to trust me. I've got riches in heaven that you know nothing about. I've got treasures in heaven. No one that trusts in the Lord will ever lack. No one who walks with God will ever lack. He's called us to a higher purpose than just serving ourselves and making sure our future is secure. Each one of you has a call of God upon your life to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be like Peter and say, oh, what about John? What's going to happen to him? No, he says, if you follow me, Peter. You follow me, John. You follow me. Every single one of you. You follow me is what he's saying to us. We once walked according to the lusts of our flesh and mind. And the Bible says we were children of wrath just like everybody else. But now, he's saying, in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombol Christian Fellowship.com.